Our first scripture reading today is the 85th Psalm. O Lord, you showed favor to your land. You restored the well-being of Jacob. You pardoned the wrongdoing of your people. You forgave all their sin. You withdrew all your fury. You turned back from your raging anger. Restore us, O God, our deliverer. Do not be displeased with us. Will you stay mad at us forever? Will you remain angry throughout future generations? Will you not receive us once more? Then our people will rejoice in you. O Lord, show us your loyal love. Bestow on us your deliverance. I will listen to what God the Lord says, for he will make peace with his people, his faithful followers. Yet they must not return to their foolish ways. Certainly his loyal followers will soon experience his deliverance. Then his splendor will again appear in our land. Loyal love and faithfulness meet. Deliverance and peace greet each other with a kiss. Faithfulness grows from the ground, and deliverance looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will bestow his good blessings, and our land will yield its crops. Deliverance goes before him and prepares a pathway for him. Our second reading is from Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 19. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you with respect to food or drink, or in the matter of a feast, new moon, or Sabbath days. These are only the shadows of the things to come, but the reality is Christ. Let no one who delights in false humility and the worship of angels pass judgment on you. That person goes on at great lengths in what he has supposedly seen, but he is puffed up with empty notions by his fleshy mind. He is not held fast to be the head from which the whole body, supported and knit together through its ligaments and sinews, grows with growth that is from God. May God bless the words to our hearts and minds, for it is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God.
Prayer in the midst of crisis for an ancient faith community. They prayed for joy. Joy that can come from God's presence within that community. In verses 1 through 3, they share with us how God has restored the community before. And in verses 4 through 7, we hear a plea or a request directly to God to bring restoration again, as the church is in crisis once more. And the last verses that Jean read, verses 8 through 13, we hear their post-exilic plea. Because remember, they had been exiled for 40 years in the desert. And we hear the pleas of people recently returned to their larger community. And they know about God's bestowal of restoration. I can't wait to hear what God will say. God's about to pronounce the chosen people well, the holy people God loves so much, so they'll never again live like fools. See how close God's salvation is to those who fear Yahweh? Our country is a home base for glory. Love and truth meet in the street, right living and whole living embrace and kiss. Truth sprouts green from the ground. Right living pours down from the skies. Oh, yes, God gives goodness and bounty. Our land responds with bounty and blessing. Right living strides out before our gracious Creator, and it clears a space for God's passage. You see, just like the Israelites, we are called to a way of living. Our covenant with God requires that we live in a community. Our covenant with God requires that we love the members of that community unconditionally. Our covenant with God requires that we do not twist or modify the simple, important commandment that Jesus gave us and that is written in Matthew. Jesus replied, "Love your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So, if we all love our neighbor, who are we talking about? Well, we can go right to the beginning of the Old Testament. Genesis 1, verse 26 says, "Then God said, let us make human beings in my image." Each of us, each of you is created in that divine image that God was imagining. This should provide each and every person we meet the same status, our neighbor. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. So based on our covenant with God, created with the Israelites over 2,000 years ago, and followed by Christians today, if we read the What We Believe section on a denominational or church webpage, means we should treat everyone as if they're part of our family, as if they are loved like our closest friends, family members, neighbors. We should treat all around us with love and care, kindness, mercy, forgiveness, and dignity. Dignity? Well, the principle of human dignity was written by Sister Catherine Feely, and it states this: when we deal with each other, we should do so with the sense of awe that arises in the presence of something holy and sacred. For that is what human beings are. We are created in the image of God. So let's consider a few points around this divine likeness. Human dignity is understood as flowing from one's relationship with God, and it is not earned or merited. It is inherent. It is built within us. Everyone should be treated with dignity and respect, deserving of God's creation. Human dignity is grounded in human freedom. The human person is free to accept or reject the ongoing self-communication of God. But if that's true, then why do we pass laws and establish practices and develop categories that limit others? Why do we ridicule how our brothers and sisters worship? Why do we pick out things to believe that harm other people and impact their abilities to exercise their full communication with God? If we believe, then we believe all are divinely created, all our neighbors, and God will settle up with them when the time comes. Human dignity is realized and protected in community with others. What we do, how we talk, how we treat one another, it matters at all times, and especially on Sunday morning. Don't be in such a hurry to leave your parking spot that you don't let the other congregant out of theirs. Don't leave the visitor sitting alone and wondering what to do. Reach out, greet them, and show them. Talk with them. See, we're in charge of ourselves, and we're all called by God and the Car Covenant with God to love our neighbors in a way that maintains their dignity and affirms that they are also divinely created. Last night, as I was quickly spinning through Facebook, I came upon this posting by a friend who was posting a memory from 2017. Her name is Susan Menko. After attending the Disciples Convention with so many conversations and meetings with various attendees and people, there is one conversation that stands out the most for me. The atmosphere outside was clobberingly muggy. Inside was cool and comfortable, sort of like today and yesterday. And I sat inside awaiting my ride to arrive to take me to another comfortable hotel, providing food and shelter and cool air. I say this because the last one-on-one discussion I had at the convention was with a homeless man who wandered into the coolness of the convention hall, and we sat together and discussed his situation. He explained that he had been receiving Social Security and medical aid, but somehow it had overpaid him, and so they canceled his benefits, and he had to pay back the money that he had received from the government, which left him destitute. And he ended up on a street corner in the city. He suffers from an anxiety disorder and some kind of a lung issue. He expressed to me that he was sad to see the convention for the disciples ending because they are good and safe people who will listen to the many street people in downtown Indianapolis. Not all the people who come to the convention center are evidently nice people in his mind. He explained that he sells postcards to tourists to help himself get by, and he's allowed to live in a mission place for 10 days out of the month. It is there where he gets a bed, food, medicine, and comfort. The mission place keeps a computer log of each homeless participant that seeks shelter with them, and this helps them to keep tabs on their needs. So we prayed together. He shared his story, and I listened. And we each recognized that we are both children of God who, over the course of a few days in a hot July, became neighbors. I carry his story with me now. My ride came for me, and I left my new neighbor with a blessing. And I shall carry this adventure with me as a call. There is so much we do not see until we stop and just sit. And then God places a seed in our lap in the form of a homeless person, and the wonder of the Spirit awakened within. As Susan said, God can arrive unannounced in shabby clothes. So I would ask this question. How can we as individuals or families, church or school, communities or citizens creatively live out the gospel and its call to us to promote human dignity in the face of threats identified? Which then, of course, I have a second question. What actions, attitudes, or practices can each of us commit to so that we will promote reverence and respect for the dignity of those we deal with on a daily basis? It's not easy work. It's the work that we are called to do. Not to pass judgment onto others, but to treat them with respect and with reverence and to maintain their dignity. Love one another as I have loved you. Prayerfully think about it. Amen.